Remember the hereafter, and you will remember why you are here. Remember the hereafter, and you will remember why you are here and what you are after.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله
الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله
وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. Dear viewers of Madni Channel, welcome back to YOLO. Before we start, let me introduce our learned guests, a resident, mashallah, Shiraz Madni Bhai, our learned scholar. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Shiraz Bhai, welcome to the show. Jazakallah khair for taking the time out. And joining him today, as usual, mashallah, our beloved Bisharat Bhai, he always gives us time and makes the effort. May Allah reward him. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Jazakallah for coming. May Allah accept your hard words, mashallah. Now, before we move any further, we always start our programs, alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin, with something which is extremely important. Because if we make this the essence of our lives, then alhamdulillah, our life will be beautiful. Our grave will be beautiful, and on the day of judgment, we will stand proud. How proud? Let me share something with you. Imagine that the king's entourage enters town. The king is sat on his throne high, with all his wise men around him, and all the security staff and everybody else. And you're in the crowds. You know, you're waving at the king, and you're happy to see the king. And suddenly, somebody comes and escorts you to the court of the king. And then the king shakes hands with you in front of all of the creation. How amazing would that be? How proud would you feel? How happy would you be? With that in mind, listen to this beautiful hadith Mubarak. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is reported to have said that whoever recites Durood-e Paak upon me 50 times a day, on the day of judgment, I would shake hands with him. Main usse musafa karunga. So just imagine that on the day of judgment, when everybody is in great difficulty, and yet you are taken out of the crowd, brought to the court of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and have the privilege and the honor of shaking hands with the best of creation sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we can make that a reality. How? By making sure that we recite Durood-e Paak upon Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam every day punctually. Make it a time, whether it's after Fajr or Zohar, Asr, Salah, but make it a habit that you recite your 50 times a day, and inshallah we will look forward to that day when we will have the honor and the privilege of seeing the best of creation sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now, my dear Islamic brothers, what we have is the journey of the soul. And we covered that in quite a lot of detail, and we came through to the grave. And then we moved on. And we moved on to the minor signs of the day of judgment. And in the first week, we went through different things that Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam predicted. Now when one looks at Bukhari Sharif, Muslim Sharif, Tirmidhi Sharif, all these great books of hadith, they all have many, many hadith mubarakah in relation to the predictions that the best of creation sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam made and how accurate they were. And in the first episode a few weeks ago, we discussed that how Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam said that when the last hour comes, there will be trials and tribulations, there will be fitna after fitna. And then Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam indicated that from the blessed time of the best of creation to the day of Qiyamah, it was like this. It was very close. The end of the world was close. And the glorious Quran makes many references to the last day. In Surah Hajj, Allah Azza wa Jal says, and the hour is coming without doubt. And then in Surah Hijr, verse 85, in the glorious Quran, Allah Azza wa Jal says, and we did not create the heavens and the earth and everything between them, except with truth. And the hour is certainly coming. When that hour comes, the glorious Quran tells us there are signs. The Hadith Mubarakah tells us that there are signs. And the scholars say that all these signs have started to show. And some people say that since Aqa Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made these predictions, we've had 1400 years. That's a long time. In actual fact, it isn't. When one looks at the creation of the universe and how the scientists tell us that the universe and all the creation have been around for billions of years, in the scheme of things, one can imagine when the best of creation indicates that Qiyamah is very close, how close it really is. We discussed how Makkah would be torn open, how there would be river-like passages, how Bedouins would make buildings and compete to make the tallest buildings. We discussed some of the bihayay, some of the obscenities that we've seen. We discussed how children would be disobedient to parents. And all these signs of Qiyamah that we are seeing around us, the use of interest, musical instruments, and how people would try to justify them. Today, we're going to move on. And we're going to move on to discuss some very, very interesting predictions of or certainties that Aqa Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave us that we are now seeing in the world around us. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa
sallam. Remember the hereafter, and you will remember why you are here. Remember the hereafter, remember why you are here and what you are after.
So the first sign of Qiyamah, shall I say, we hear time and time again that one of the predictions, one of the certainties that Aqa Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I like to use the word certainty because prediction means somebody guesses. When it comes to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it isn't a guess, it's a certainty. Aqa Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has foretold us exactly what's going to happen. And in the 1400 years of Islamic history, everything that the best of creation sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, everything has come through true to every little minute detail that the best of creation, Aqa Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, predicted. Now in relation to time, it was mentioned that time would go fast. And I just want to, and this is one of the signs of Qiyamah, I just wanted to ponder upon that. What does it mean when time goes fast? I mean,
so, there's like a few different explanations. One is that time will actually go faster. So like, you know, the 24 hours. There will be a time where the 24 hours won't really be 24 hours. I mean, the clocks will still spin for 24 hours, but the actual time, if you compare it 10 years before that, we're getting less time out of the 24 hours.
Do the actual seconds tick faster? Because that's an interesting
one. It's basically astronomy, and the scientists have predicted that there will be a time where the Earth moving around and, you know, this orbit system, something's going to happen, and they could see it in the future that what's going to happen is it's going to spin around faster. And the time will, one day will become shorter, one month will become shorter, one year will become shorter. They say that this is possible in the future. And you know the hadith about the Dajjal, where he will live for 1 year, 1 month and 1 week, or one day like a Friday. And there's different narrations. So that gives you a hint as well that actual time, there will be some sort of actual time issue where the time is actually delayed and then shortened. So 1 year would be 1 day. And there is so much entertainment in front of us, there's so many activities to do that the time goes so fast we don't realize what happened. And then if you look back, let's say, if I look back to my year six weeks holidays, them 6 weeks were, you know, it felt like 3 months. Because they were nice, and 1 hour would take a full hour to go.
You thought yours was. I mean, we didn't have, I remember there wasn't much on television when we were young. I'm talking, you know, when I was in school, you're talking a long time ago, you know. And so at that stage, the 6 week holidays were, like you said, it was like a long, long break.
It was a long, and yeah, it actually felt like a long period of time. And then you could imagine, you know, 30 years ago, 40 years ago, that how long it actually would have been. But now 6 weeks, it just feels like, okay, it's a break, but it only feels like a half-term break, like a two-week holiday.
Let me just ask you a question. I mean, if you don't know the answer, I'm sure, mashallah, in the whole of Dawat Islami, I know that a lot of scholars will say straight away, but time itself, isn't it a creation of Allah Azza wa Jalla? So it's effectively a makhluk of Allah Azza wa Jalla, because time and space, a lot of the physicists and those who study the quantum physics and everything, they say time and space, you know, and speed and everything else go hand in hand, and they move, mass moves to time and all that complicated equations. So time isn't something that we have a concept of time where we think, how can it move? And so there may be some viewers of Madni Channel thinking, well, how can time be? Time is time, and the time stays there. Actually, scientists say that time can be faster and slower, doesn't it?
Yeah. So yeah, if you look inside the Quran, in various places, for example, the story of a certain prophet where he lays down near a tree and he takes off.
Uzair alayhi salam.
Uzair alayhi salam, yeah. And he has his mount, his
SubhanAllah, what a beautiful example.
Donkey next to him, and he falls asleep next to a tree, and the fruit that he had, which he put in his bag, and himself, after 100 years, was perfect. Like, it was as if he slept a minute ago. But his donkey that he had, his mule, that it turned into bone.
Allah.
So now this is the same space, they're in the same, to say, 1 meter distance on the earth, under the same tree. And the both of them have fallen into a different time frame.
Into time zone.
One has actually felt the full 100 years, i.e. the donkey. And Hazrat Uzair alayhi salam had only felt a day or 1.5 days that he slept for. But it was in essence 100 years for the donkey. So it's one place, but there are two different times.
I mean, in terms of time, if you look at it from a blessing point of view, I know Shaykh Tariqat Amir al-Sunnah, he says that the nation which is organized is successful. So like when we look at our day, what we've done within our day, how fruitful has it been, how productive has it been, this is another means of looking at the time. So like, what have I done throughout my day? If I can't give accountability for my day, then what sort of accountability am I going to give on the day of judgment?
The same way, you know, Hazrat Sulaiman alayhi salam, when he says to his minister that who could bring the throne to me the fastest, and one of them says, I'll bring it to you before you could sit on your throne. And Hazrat Sulaiman alayhi salam says again, you know, who could bring it me faster than that? And he says, I could bring it before the blink of an eye. So now
he's on form today. He's coming out with some beautiful examples, isn't he?
Now what's happened here? Okay, there's the previous one where they're in the same place, but the time zone is different. On this one, they're in the same time, but the journey, the actual journey that he had to travel, became shorter. So he brought that throne from a distance.
It was in Yemen, and it was then locked away behind seven big doors.
And so Allah made that land smaller for him, so it became very short for him. So you know this now. If you look at, you know, the quantum physics and the studies that the scientists have studied, they could see glimpses of this. It's a bit like, you know, when we see a thunder. Now thunder happens, let's say 10, 15, or 1,000, 2,000 miles away. Now you can see the light first. Okay, you see the light, and 15 seconds, 20 seconds later you hear the thunder. But that's in your time zone. The person that's right under the thunderbolt, he hears it straight away. So it's the same thing, you're in the same place, but you're living in two different time zones. So time is a creation of Allah, but it's different for everyone. Allah can make it different for one person, however he can make it different for another person as well. If you look at Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu, before he sat on his horse, he read the entire Quran.
Subhanallah.
So Allah spread the time for him and made that, you know, for us to sit on a horse, obviously we're not professionals, but it would take, let's say, 30 seconds to a minute. But in that time he read the entire Quran. And the entire Quran, if a person puts his full effort in, it takes a good, I'd say, 12 hours if you put from start to end.
Before I bring you back, I'll bring us back to the topic of obviously signs of Qiyamah. Taking a lead from you, I assume then that the Sahabika those brilliant people who are resting in the cave. For them, the 300 years plus 9, I think the glorious Quran says.
It was actually whatever Allah says, that they slept for 300 plus 9 years. And then the proof of that is the coins that they had when they went to get some bread from the shop.
So for the rest of the world, the rest of the world was in a different time zone where time was moving differently. For these walis of Allah, the friends of Allah, time literally stopped and became a half a day or a day, or Allah knows best what it became. Amazing. Now, that was a fascinating discussion, and we can carry on that in time itself. But I want to bring it back to the signs of Qiyamah, because one of the things that I've noticed as I've got older, and you know, Sharad Bey is probably a little younger than me, but he will remember as well. Time didn't used to go this fast. You alluded to it earlier as well. But suddenly now, it's like Monday, Friday, Sunday. The viewers of Monday Channel, you know, will relate to this. A lot of people I speak to said years go by. Now, I had one person I was discussing this with, and he said, look, you know, years are like months. Months are like weeks. Weeks are like days. You know, and this is how it goes. And it reminded me of something I'd heard, that is exactly what the best of creation said, time will pass so fast. So I want you to pick that up, and you know, how did Akhakim Salah describe it, and what exactly?
So basically, what you're coming on to there, there's one hadith where the Prophet says that time will go fast. And I mentioned the three different interpretations, but Rumba, there's one more thing that comes to mind. You know, as a person, as a human, we try to fit in so many things into one day. It's because it's possible as well. For example, we could end up from one side of the country to another side of the country within a day and get back home. It's become very easy, whether it's from train, whether it's from an aeroplane or even a car. So what we do as a person living today is we try to fit in so many things into one single day, and that's why we have no time left. We have a short amount of time. You know, even if you go abroad now and you go into Pakistan, for example, time is nice and lengthy, and you feel the, you know, the barakat in the time. However, one of the possible reasons why we feel more time in Pakistan or any other warmer country is because there's no chores. We're not doing much. All we're doing is getting up for Fajr. We're spending time with family. We're meeting other family. We're not working for example, we're not doing our housely duties, our responsibilities. We just relax there. That's why time goes slower there. So what I'm trying to say, Rumba, is that now what we have done is put so many things into one day, and we've overfilled our one day with so many things that there's no time left. But even then, people, you know, a lot of people will say, I've got no time for this, I've got no time for that. But you know, what they mean is, CBA, I can't be asked really, because what they are actually doing is they are at home relaxing, because their full day is they've spent doing one thing, another thing, third thing, and they've got no energy left. So people, you know, when you pack your day out, that seems as if you know, you've got your time has just traveled too
fast. It really depends on how you're packing it as well. You mean, you say, I can't be bothered with the acronym that you use. But coming back to the Hadith of Mubarakah, Sayyidina Abu Hurairah radiallahu ta'ala, and the reason I find this amazing, Bisharat Bhai, is that, you know, people say this, and you'll have heard it, I've heard it, but, you know, years are passing like months are passing like weeks. Now, this is now. It wasn't like this 100 years ago, 200 years ago, and it certainly wasn't like this 1400 years ago, the blessed time of the best of creation, which is the best time in the entire creation of the universe, when Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was present. Now, in the worldly sense. Now, let me read to you this. Hazrat Abu Hurairah said, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the hour will not begin until time passes quickly. So a year will be like a month will be like a week will be like a day will be like an hour. And an hour will be like the burning of the braid of palm leaves. We accept that time is a creation, and as a creation of Allah Azza wa Jal, the era that we're in, time is now moving very fast. So, okay, so what? What are the lessons we should be learning from that? A, that Qiyamah is very close, but B, if time is moving fast, then you're losing your most precious commodity, because we're only in this world for a finite amount of time. I think Maulin Madhu Sahib, what he said was, on our time scale, it was a little dot, a blip. So even the blip is going fast.
Yeah.
So you've got thousands of years, you've got 60-year life at best, and so 30 years of the understanding and hosh and, you know, your youth, yeah? And that, not, you know, little dot, and that's even going fast, and you've got little time to disobey Allah.
I remember how serious is it that you have to take time, that in our time now, we're seeing that time is going faster, then we need to be turning more towards the deen. We can't be complacent and think to ourselves, you know what, I'm still young, or I've got many years ahead of me to do good deeds, good actions, but, you know, this time is moving so fast that eventually you may not even get that chance to perform good deeds, good actions, perform, you know, the rites that Allah has commanded you to do. So these are all things that in our youth, unfortunately, it's the trick of shaitan as well, but we've got plenty of time ahead of us, but unfortunately we get so stuck in our ways that by the time we realize, you know, we could be in our grave.
Before we move on from time, you know, logically, you know, what does it make sense to me is this. We know that we're only here for a short amount of time. So the 60 years, 70 years that we live to in this era, you don't get beyond that. Now, in that the time you had was limited anyway. And now, because Allah has put you in has made you come to the earth in a period where time's passing fast. You know, we weren't born 15th century, we weren't in the 14th century in the Eastern sense, or the 7th century in the Islamic sense, or something like that. We're now 1460 years after Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's arrival into this world. We're now in the Gregorian calendar, we're in the 2020. We've been born here. Now, it's an accepted reality that your 30, 40 years is now going to pass even faster, and probably twice as fast as then that you had before. So isn't it taken for granted that we're running to our graves very fast? Why disobey Allah in this very short time? Because it was a blip anyway. Now it's even shorter, isn't it? We're going to move on. There are other signs. Then the next sign of Qiyamah, another hadith from Barakah Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which ties up with this as well. Time's going faster, and yet there's less. People should be more worried about doing good deeds, but less, yet they're not. And they're thinking, you know, YOLO. You only live once, so enjoy it. And they think that once means when you're born to when you die. And obviously, for the last 12, 13 weeks, we've given them a reality check, not from what we thought, from what the glorious Quran and the beautiful Hadith of Barakah said. But good deeds, why are we reluctant? Why are good deeds decreasing these days? Why is nobody...
You know, just because we're talking about time and now the good deeds, you know, the Surah Al-Asr, one of the meanings of Asr is Dahr. Dahr means time. So by the time, إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَفِي خُسْرٍ, that insan, the category, they're all in loss. إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ, except the ones that believe and do good deeds. They go hand in hand. We mentioned this in the first few sentences, that belief and good deeds have to go together to be the successful one. You can't have just belief and not the good deeds. You have to have both hand in hand to make success of yourself. Otherwise, you go fall into the category where all of insan, humans, are in loss. So, question, why are we doing less good deeds even though we have less time? You know that story of, I think it was Hazrat Musa alayhi salam, where a woman says to Hazrat Musa alayhi salam that, I have two sons, one of them passed away at the age of 500. And Musa alayhi salam smiles and says that there will be a time where people will live till about 60 or 70. And, you know, you are complaining about 500 years. And she was shocked. She says that, O Musa alayhi salam, that will these people, will they have homes? Where would they live?
Allah, Allah.
And he says that these people would have stronger homes than us. And, because remember, in them days they would live in huts, you know, made out of straw. And, so she says that if I was in that time, I would find the shade of a tree and spend my 60 years in sajda.
Allah.
This is that woman who has a lifespan of what, 506. You know, if we knew that we will live for 500 years, then it makes sense to, for example, start up a small business, and that will, you know, make us relax for the rest of our 500 years remaining. But we only have like 60 years. And if you rewind your back into Musa Islam's time, a 60-year-old person is a toddler. In back then.
But this is what the in that narration, what the woman said was, "Mera bacha phot ho gaya hai. My child has passed away." And when Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam asked, "How old is he?" Because in those days the ages were a lot more. And she said, 500 years. But that gives you a reality check, doesn't it, of what time is and what we have here. And you know, good deeds. Today, I think the problem with good deeds is that I can do things. You see, the true description of good deeds is those who have done for the sake of Allah. Now, if you're watching, I'll pray 100 nafil. But when I'm at home, I struggle to get up for Fajr. When you're watching, I'll get my jubbah, I'll get my imamashif, I'll put khushbu on, the Shahrukh Bhai is watching me. But when I'm at home, 3/4 will do, a t-shirt will do, and you know, it's a few millimeters, no, it doesn't matter.
It's not even if someone's watching, even if there's a CCTV camera.
Allah.
It's just an item, you don't even know if it's on record, but you will stop your possible activities, or you will do certain activities in front of the camera. You don't even know if someone's watching or not. Here we know 100% Allah is all seeing, all hearing, but still we, you know, we pretend or we fake in front of Him who knows everything.
And then we go into riyakari as well, sorry, because what we do is then, you know, the Buzhurg used to say, neki kar darya mein dal ke, when you do a good deed, forget about it. And what is now is, neki kar Facebook mein dal. So as soon as you do a good deed, plaster it all over Facebook, you know, don't forget about it. Show the world what you've done. So if, you know, you've got a roza, you've slept, the shaitan, this is how the shaitan works. There's a beautiful bayan by Nigrani Shura, and what he said is, look, if you've done a neki, for example, you kept a roza, what the shaitan isn't going to do is sit around and say, okay, well, he's done the deed or he's doing the deed. No, now I've got to get him to waste it through bragging about it and through telling other people and being arrogant and boastful about it. So what the shaitan will do is, yeah, I'm a bit tired today.
Yeah.
And then so Bisharat Bhai will say to me, you know, why are you okay? Yeah, Rosa Rakyawan, it's hot, you know what I mean? And that gives your nafs the tranquility. What I'm doing is I'm feeding those that desire for him to think, he's got a Rosa, how pious is he? And for me to say, look, I'm better than you. And yet that Rosa was for the sake, that fast was for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal.
A hidden form of worship.
Hidden form of worship. But what I've done is I've plastered it and advertised it. Oh gee, I got up for tahajjud today, that's why I can't open my eyes now. I mean, you know, and we waste it. And this is what the shaitan does. So one of the signs of Qiyamah is that good deeds will decrease. Killing and murder. What would you say about that?
There's a hadith in Mubarakah in his Sahih Imam Muslim. He, radiallahu ta'ala, he records hadith in Mubarakah where Sayyidina Abu Hurairah radiallahu ta'ala, he reports that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, by him whose hand is my soul, a time would come when the murderer would not know why he has committed a murder and the victim would not know why he has
Allah.
We live at a time today that, you know, obviously we might live in a community where we don't see a lot of these things, but if you go to certain parts of the country and you see the knife crime and the level of knife crime, you know, and people are just leaving the house at night, you know, I mentioned to you brothers a realistic situation where a sister, she leaves the house and for no apparent reason she's just walking to her parents and somebody stabs her and kills her. You know, and this is in the month of Ramadan. And this is a time that's come today where, unfortunately, you know, we're living in a time that if you look at, you know, countries where there's wars, etc., and, you know, people are being killed and, you know, they don't even know why they're being killed.
But see, it's everywhere though, isn't it? Wherever you look, yeah, from even the modern developed countries, the murder rates and killings and, you know, everything is going up. And wherever you go, you know, there's thousands of people being murdered in the Western countries and then in, the, you know, South Asia and all the developing countries, it's even worse. And then there's all these proxy wars all over the place and, you know, the entire kind of areas are being taken in by it. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Bukhari Sharif, Muslim Sharif, Ibn Majah Sharif, there will be much killing and murder.
Well, you know what things happen, especially in the past 70 years, is, you know, for a Muslim, you know, when we cut our nails, You're supposed to bury them. You're supposed to have respect for the human body. Even our hair, everything. We're supposed to respect the human organ. Now, so that is just a toenail, for example. And you still, you know, give it the respect because it's part of the human body, which Allah, you know, made angels prostrate to Adam alayhi salam. It was basically to honor the human body. Now, obviously we mentioned the Noor as well. That was the Sufi side of things. So now, what's happened is, in the past 70 years, our textbooks, our, you know, what we see on the TV, everything, what's happened is, they've made us believe that humans are not as valuable. And, the, you know, the respect of humans, the honor of humans has decreased. And, you know, the theory that we have been developed through, you know, from a different animal and we come, you know, survival of the fittest like this. So we are technically animals. Now what's happened is that has gave justification to some people and has made them think, okay, if we're all animals, then, you know, animals kill each other. Some
you know, obviously they reject, there are different, obviously, these what do I call them, absolutely stupid theories. I can't think of a better word right now. Because what they say is that we're all like animals and we do that, whereas Allah has created in front of the Ashraful Makhlukat, the best of creation, and Ahsan al-Taqreem, Surah, you know, Wadeen, it says that in the best of forms and everything else. But what we've done is we've taken that and it's just the greed and... But some of this murder, it's not even greed, it's just senseless murder, isn't it?
Yeah.
Senseless killing. I mean, one thing that a lot of viewers will be thinking, well, this has happened over time, but it hasn't. I remember speaking to my grandparents and a couple of other people there as well, and they used to tell me that, you know, 50, 60 years ago, if in the whole of Kashmir, yeah, and those brothers who were from Kashmir, they relate to this, all the elders will, if there was a murder, one murder, for months and months and months, it was almost like a shockwave to the whole of the country that there'd been a murder. And how can it be, and every police investigating, it used to be a big thing. And everybody was in shock and awe, and Dubai, you know, and Astaghfar, and thinking, how could this happen? And these days, if you listed the number of deaths and murders and killings, it's just phenomenal. And that's happened in the last 50 years. So we have taken, just by that hadith of Mubarakah, we've taken a big step. I mean, look at the different, you know, killings in Burma and Syria and everywhere else in the world. Just generally, the amount of people that are dying, one has to look at that and say, well, this, and there's another prediction that Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made. And if one looks at the number of casualties, or number of victims that are dying unnecessarily, we must be close to Qiyamah.
And, you know, there's a booklet of Amir Ahlus Sunnah just about respecting you know, a fellow Muslim. And it was, the respect of a Muslim is even greater than the blessed Kaaba Sharif. So if somebody even tried to attack the Kaaba Sharif, just, you know, how would we feel as Muslims? But look at the respect of a Muslim, that we have to respect them even, you know, in terms of their respect is greater than the Kaaba.
You know, 10, 15, 20 years ago, without naming names, people who you, if you'd said this person will become the leader of a country, people would laugh at you. They'd say, have you lost the plot? And yet, those very people, not just one, many, many people like that, who, you know, in those terms, you know, people would have said, "Ikhi chaprasini pirakma," you know, nobody'd have him as a servant. And yet, look at what the best of creation, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, predicted, that these types of people will become leaders, and it's happening over the world. Like, sorry, I haven't got time to discuss that one, because I wanted to come to the last one, which is very, very important. Honesty will be lost. In this day and age we're living, you know, if 10, 15, 20 years ago, I said to you, here's a pen and paper, yeah? Write down the names of 10 mukhlis, sincere people who are honest, truthful, reliable, yeah, that you can trust. You would have taken 5 or 10 minutes, you would have written down 10 people. If I give you the same piece of paper and the same pen today and say, write down the names of 10 people, you'd struggle. I mean, why? What's happened to the world?
You know, if you look back at Hazrat Sufyan radiallahu anhu, he was a non-Muslim at that time. And the king calls him and says, who is this person? And even though he was the greatest enemy of the Prophet at that time, he couldn't even lie because he was the leader of his nation. And now the leader of the nation, even though it was like a big, you know, thing for him, he wanted to say something negative, which he couldn't say without lying, so it had to be a lie. But what we learn from that is that even the people in the past who were at that point not believing and had a lot of hatred for another person, even they couldn't lie because of losing the dignity and honor that they had, and especially being a leader of the Meccans at that time, he couldn't lie. And he had to say
today
everything.
the biggest lies are the leaders.
Yeah, and the same, you know, for example, now if a person is monitoring a system and he gives authority, he's in a place of authority, if he gives authority to a person who is non-suitable, that is is coming into that same category, that you've given that responsibility of that certain thing to the wrong person. This is the sign of judgment. They're giving responsibilities to the wrong person, someone that is not befitting that responsibility.
I mean, look at the, you know, you see stories, you know, even on through social media or anything like that, and you see that Muslims are being painted in a certain picture where, you know, committed a fraud, you know, dishonesty in terms of, you know, stealing and things like that. And we come to an age now where, you know, a Muslim should be a sign of a person being honest.
Mm.
But unfortunately, you know, when you look at certain individuals, or it could be certain parts of the community, you know, you're being labeled as people who are fraudsters, you're being labeled, you know, the prisons are full of people who have committed
You must have heard that story Khalid Bhai tells us about the taxi driver where his meter stops working.
I was just thinking exactly that story.
The meter stops working.
And I was just going to regurgitate.
You tell us.
No. But basically, what Khalid Bhai says is that there was a taxi driver, I think he was in Manchester, and he picked up two couples, and he dropped one off, and the fare was £6. And they paid £6, and then he went and dropped the second couple off, and they looked at the meter and it said £12. So they took out £12 to give him, and he said, no, actually, they've already paid £6. This is the total fare, so you only need to pay £6. So he gave £6 back. And they looked at him and said, are you Muslim? And he said, yes. And he said, why? He says, because usually the Muslims aren't honest, you've been honest with us. And this is, it's a wake-up call for us of how bad things are getting. We had a lot to cover today as well. We wanted to go into the dishonest behavior of people generally at the time of Qiyamah. We've got cheating, we've got disappearance of knowledge, ignorance, wealth, abundance, immorality, how behayah has come. And then we had Shiraz Bay's favorite, the mountains of gold under the river Euphrates. We've got a lot to come. I think this is the second one. We haven't got through very much today. I think we're going to have at least another two silsilas on the minor signs of Qiyamah at least. Inshallah, we'll be going through those. Viewers of Madni Channel, today what we've learned is that time is very important. It is the most precious commodity we have, and we need to use it wisely. And we've also learned from the Hadith Mubarakah that time, when it comes to the time, close to Qiyamah, time is going to go quickly. We can see it's going quickly. And we know that Qiyamah is close. What do we do? Do we simply just talk about it and that's it? Leave it on our lips? Or do we practically try and increase our good deeds so that we use the time as wisely as we can? Are we spending time in the masajid? Are we spending time reading the Quran? Are we spending time pleasing Allah's beloved Hadith sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Because this time will go fast. It's going very fast. The only person that can control this time is the one who spends his life in the obedience of Allah. Why? Because if it goes fast, but he's in the obedience of Allah, then he is saving himself from the wrong thing. The time's going fast. The more time he spends in the obedience of Allah, the less time he is spending disobeying Allah and his beloved Hadith sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Deeds will decrease. Now, don't do those who are the signs of Qiyamah, because people can't be bothered doing things. As Shahz Bhai said, there are certain people who just cannot be bothered. Don't be of those people. When it comes to worldly wealth, we never say, I can't be bothered doing this, even though I can make a bit of money. Why is it that we're not making a hadith, as Amir al-Sunnah says? We should be striving to get more deeds in our book of deeds, so that when we die, we have something to present in the court of Allah. And then when you see all the killing and murder and everything else, pray in the court of Allah for those victims, and Allah protects us. But again, see it as a sign of the last hour. and be honest. Because as Muslims, one of the greatest etiquette characteristics and one of the greatest attributes that the best of creation sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam taught us was a Muslim is always honest. Regarding this, but you know, a Muslim doesn't defraud. Nor Akhtarim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the one who cheats is not one of us. So we don't want to be of those signs of the Day of Judgment. Inshallah, we will continue this next week with YOLO. We've got to move on to our social issues section, which is a very important one and tied into some of this, inshallah. Salu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala, ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Remember the hereafter, and you will remember why you are here. Remember the hereafter, and you will remember why you are here, and what you are after, and what you are after.
Today's social issue that we're going to discuss is something that we all suffer from, whether it's a lot or it's a little, but we do suffer from this. It's a bad habit. It makes you a slave of your nafs, of your desires. It makes you go astray. You're never happy. Even though you have many blessings of Allah Azza wa Jal, you forget to thank Allah Azza wa Jal because you're always looking for more. It's this desire that never gets fulfilled. You know, you go through your life and time, as we discussed earlier, passes very fast. But you're always complaining. You're never content. And you never have the courage or the thought to think beyond this circle of greed. I want more. This greed, the Islamic Brothers and Viewers of Madhi Shalom, is a curse. It makes a person blind. It hides his wisdom. It takes away the enjoyment of life. It takes divine fear out of your heart. And a greedy person sees everybody as his enemy, even his relatives. So he doesn't build relationships with them. He sees his children as enemies. You know, then this greedy person, he just blames. He just has hatred for everybody. Mischief he creates. He has difference of opinion. And all of this is based upon the desire to want more. There is little goodness in him, little character in this person, little kindness. He doesn't obey Allah Azza wa Jal for the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal and seeking forgiveness. No, he lives his life to acquire money, wealth, deeds, position, shares, izzat, shohrat, and this becomes everything in life. And today we want to talk about greed. Jardin.
This is quite a good story, in effect, to put into perspective greed, and it obviously involves a lot of people. There's a village, it's in a mountainous area, and because it's in a mountainous area, there's a lot of monkeys in that area. And an animal trader, he turns up in that village and he says to the people that I'm after purchasing monkeys from you people, and if you can catch a monkey, I'll give you £100 per monkey. So these villagers are like, well, this is like free money because we're surrounded by, you know, monkeys here. So off they went out, collecting these monkeys, catching them, and eventually, you know, they got them in large numbers, and they've taken them back to this trader, and they've traded, you know, monkeys in the thousands. So obviously they've made a lot of money now. But the trader then he returns back and he says to them, you know, the last time I came, you know, you gave me a lot of monkeys in the thousands. But obviously the ones that evaded you, the ones that you couldn't catch, they were a bit more trickier. So what I'll do is I'll give you £200 per monkey, you know, if you can go out and catch these, you know, monkeys that you couldn't get a hold of the first time. And, you know, this is how much I pay. So the villagers, they go out, they go and catch these monkeys. And eventually what the trader does, he has a massive cage and he puts all these monkeys into this cage. And before he goes off, he needs to go off somewhere. He says to the villagers one last time, he says, look, you know, obviously you've caught me, you know, in the thousands now, I've got all these monkeys. But obviously there is a few more left in this area, and the ones that you couldn't catch, they must be, you know, expert type monkeys. So these ones, I'll give you £500 per monkey, go out and catch them. And obviously the villages are caught in the thousands, there's only a few left. So eventually they went out and all they could find was about nine, between five and nine monkeys. So what did they do? They returned and the actual trader, he's gone away. So they meet the servant, the person who's looking after these monkeys for him. And the servant, he turns around and he says to the villagers, "Oh, you know, how many have you caught?" And they go, "We've only caught about nine." So he goes, "Oh, you know, that's not good." So they make a deal, or should we say, the servant, he turns around and he says to the people of the village, and he says to them, "But you know what we can do? Is, you know, all these monkeys that I've got here in this cage, I'll say that you went out and caught these monkeys, you know, in the thousands. And obviously, you know, my master, he's not going to know. So what I'll do is, if you can all pay me £350 per monkey, yeah, I'll say that you caught all these monkeys, and you know, my master will have to pay you £500 a monkey." So they're all thinking to themselves, "Yeah, okay." Good. They take out all the money, all the, you know, the money that they've made from selling the previous monkeys, and they give them all to the servant. One day passes, 2 days passes, nothing. 3 days passes, nothing. They're thinking to themselves, "Wait a minute, you know, there's no show here. The master hasn't come back." So they go back to the same place where these monkeys were being kept in a cage, looking for the monkeys and the servant. There's no trace of them.
Allah.
Yeah? So basically the servant scammed them. Why? Because of their greed for money. Yeah, they always wanted more, they always wanted more, and eventually they were left.
So their monkey business failed them. amazing. But it, you know, funnily enough, that is obviously a parable, but it's the reality, isn't it? This is what we do. We get enticed in. I mean, how many people have suffered a loss in a business? I remember many years ago, one of my relatives, somebody said to him, "I'm going to invest in this business and you'll have so much return." And they were investing a few £1,000s. And yet he said to him, "You're going to get thousands back." And he fell for it. And and then afterwards, when you sat there, you thought, how could you fall for that? I mean, it was such a dumb trick. How could you fall for that? And he said it was just greed. He said, you know the sign, the pound signs that you saw in the eyes, yeah? He said, you put invest this much, and he had a plan, and we all, and it wasn't just him, other people had done it as well. And this is these, what do you call it, Ponzi schemes, where they entice people into this, and it's just greed, because they tell people, and what they'll do is very cleverly, they'll take, they'll give you a little bit of profit, so that you go and advertise it. So if I think, Michelle's got a lot of contacts here, if he gives me £100 to invest, I'll give him £200 back. He's going to say, "I've had 100% on this." You tell 15 people and I get £1,500. And this is how these people work. But what do they base it on? They base it on greed, don't they?
There's another incident that Hazrat Isa alayhi salam, basically, he was with a servant of his, and they were on a journey. And during the journey, they stopped to eat. They sat down and they began to eat. They had three rotis with them. So the man, the servant, ate a roti, Hazrat Isa alayhi salam ate one, and there was one left. And Isa alayhi salam, he's gone towards the river to drink some water. And when he's come back, the third roti is missing. So he asks the man, that, "Where's the third roti gone?" And the man, he says, "I don't know." Even though that man himself, he actually takes this third roti. And he says, "Okay." So they carry on walking, they continue the journey, and they've seen three deer, the mother and the two lambs, basically. Hazrat Isa alayhi salam, now because he's the prophet, he calls one of the lambs towards him and he slaughters it. After they eat that, Hazrat Isa alayhi salam grabs the bone and says, "Qum bi iznillah," that rise by the permission of Allah, with the permission of Allah. And the lamb comes all back together, the meat, the veins, everything comes back to structure, and it runs back towards the mother. And Isa alayhi salam says to his servant that, you know, by the one who has given me permission, i.e. Allah, to perform such a miracle, tell me who took that third roti. And he says, "I don't know." He kept on saying, "I don't know." So they carry on the journey, and what happens is, eventually they reach a desert. And in the desert, the sand, and he grabs, Isa alayhi salam takes some sand, and he turns it into gold. And the gold has three parts to it.
Allah.
And so by, you know, he says to the sand, that turned into gold by the permission of Allah, it turns into gold. So now what happens is, Isa alayhi salam, he says, "Look, this part's for you, this part's for me. And the third part is for the one who took the roti.
Allah, Allah, Allah.
So now he had to spell it out saying, Ruh Allah, that it was me who took the roti. So it spilled out. Now what happened, Isa alayhi salam says, keep all three parts and I will leave you now. So Isa alayhi salam left. Now he puts these three parts of gold into his...
He thinks he's done now.
He puts it into his buggy. He carries it over his shoulder and he walks on to his journey on his own. And now there's two men that come in front of him who were going to... They could see the gold in the bag and they are about to rob him. And they had the intention of murdering. Remember, this is all based on greed. And now what's happened is, he says, look, there's no need to steal this. There's three parts, we'll have one part each. There's no need to rob. So they say, okay. So they sat down to divide. They say, look,
before... So now he's willing to give.
Yeah. He says, before we divide this, what we'll do is one person go get some food.
So that's greed as well, isn't it? Because he's got three parts and I might as well keep one of them. That was a clever ploy as well.
So now what happens is the three parts, whilst they were dividing, they say to one of them, you go get some food from the village and we are waiting for you here. So now this person, he goes to the village to get some food. What he does, he gets some poison as well. And he puts poison in his food. And he has this intention, I'm going to kill both of them and
get
take the gold.
Parts of gold.
Now what's happened is, whilst he's gone, these two have had made the plan that we will kill him when he comes. So
he's split his share.
Yeah, so we'll keep his share as well. So when he's come, these two have killed that person. And so his share is complete, they have his share as well. So now they sat down and ate the food peacefully, these two died as well. So the gold remained there, and later Isa alayhi salam walks past it again with his Hawariyun, with his
disciples.
Yeah, his disciples, and he says that this is the dunya, stay away from it.
Allah.
And the entire lesson was about greed.
The famous hadith mubarakah, the son of Adam has a gold valley. So he will want to have two valleys and more. And this is the reality, isn't it? I mean, our life...
You know, the end of that hadith, it says that the only thing that would fill the stomach or the mouth of Ibn Adam is the soil of the grave.
Why is it? Why are we so greedy? I mean, we don't thank Allah, that's a separate topic.
Like many other desires that we, for example, hunger is a desire that we have inside us, is a feeling. Anger is something that we have inside us, is human nature. Arrogance, all these things, they're inside the human, our genes basically. Greed is one of them as well. So everyone is born with greed. Now, some people's greed is more, some is less. But like anger we have to control, is greed we have to control as well. And what we have to do with this desire, this feeling that we have of greed, we have to utilize it in a good way. So Mufti Ahmad Yar Khan, he says that greed, there are four types of greed. One is for bad deeds, one is for good deeds, one is for food, and one is for wealth. So four things that he has divided it into. Food, wealth, and bad deeds, these are all going to take us towards our destruction. But good deeds, hirs of having good deeds, that greed that we have, if we nurture this greed in such a way where it helps us bring in more good deeds, this is what will benefit us. And you can see this in Amir al-Sunnat, where every second, every nanosecond of Amir al-Sunnat's life is filled with so much good deeds. If you just think of one Jamiatul Madina, for example, all them alims that have been processed and come out into production and are now giving speeches, teaching, so on and so forth. That's from one Jamiatul Madina, all them good deeds are going into his account. And remember, for generations, them deeds are coming. And there's over, I think, 700 Jamiatul Madina internationally, with about 65,000 students, so many have graduated. All these, this is just Jamiatul Madina. You have Madni Channel, you have Madni Fafla, you have Madrasatul Madina. You have so many other departments every second. Now all this was the greed of good deeds. This was the greed of good deeds that Amir al-Sunnat has in his nature. And that's what he gets in. And this is what we should nurture our greed into.
I mean, greed takes you towards negligence, the ruthless, and a person that turns towards the Ghaflat obviously turns away from the reserve Allah Azza wa Jal. And you know, at the end of the day, we've got to look at it from this point of view, that anything that I do in my life, whatever I earn, etc., you know, it needs to be from halal sustenance, because on the Day of Judgment I'm going to be asked about it. And greed, you know, it's going to turn you towards, you know, like the waqia that Shiraz Madani just told us about, which was three people, you know, greedy for the wealth, and eventually what happened? They killed each other. And nobody got anything out of it. So, you know, being thankful what Allah has given you and what Allah has given to somebody else. I remember one of the first risalas that I read, that Amir al-Sunnah, was Satan's four donkeys, and one of them was greed, which he sells to the traders. And this is why you find, you know, traders are dishonest, you know, dishonesty that he sells to them. And they're dishonest. Why? Because of the greed for the money.
Well, the youngsters these days, so their life is taken over by this wanting to become rich overnight. I was speaking to somebody the other day, and we were talking about one particular brother who, mashallah, had done very well for himself. And the beautiful habit he had was that he wasn't greedy. He worked hard, but he was content with what he had. And alhamdulillah, Allah had blessed him so much. And it's funny, those who are greedy don't seem to make it. Mm. And even if they do acquire some money, it's no good to them. And yet those who are not greedy but are content with the will of Allah, alhamdulillah, they are the ones that are blessed. I suppose it comes back to Shiraz, the famous saying of the pious predecessors, who say that the wealth of the world, the more you chase it, you run after it, it runs away from you. Mm. Whereas if you turn around and walk away from it, it follows you. Yeah. And is that greed in essence? How do you tackle it? How do I deal with all this desire? And when I sit down to eat, I want to eat everything on the table. When I go to the shops, I want to buy everything on the, you know, racks. When I go, when I see a house, I want a mansion. When I see a car, I want a Ferrari. How do I stop that, man?
So basically, you know, if you have, for example, now, if a person, you know, wants one thing in his head, he's got this thing in his head and he wants that. One good way to tackle it, and this works for a lot of other things as well, like, you know, some people are addicted to games, yeah? And what happens, what you have to do is find an alternative, find something else. And once that has stuck into your mind that, you know, now I want to get this, find something else. You keep finding it until you get bored and you just keep it all away. And this is one way to nurture that out of your system, the greed. But like Mufti Ahmad Yar Khan Naimi says, he says that, look, so the three parts were negative, the one greed is of good deeds. And how we develop this is by reading the lives of our predecessors. I think there was a waqia where a man goes to one of our buzurgs to, you know, learn the, you know, spirituality from him. And when he gets to this person's castle, he, you know, this buzurg, he was in a castle. And he has a massive castle in front of him. He says, I'm going to learn spirituality from this person while he's living in a mansion. And the buzurg comes out and he says, let's go. Now this man, he had like a stick with a little ruksa on his back, on the back of it. And he had that over his shoulder, probably clothes inside there, a bit of money and food. And he left that inside the castle. So when they got halfway into the jungle and their classes were about to start of spirituality, the student says that Buzurg Sahib, I've left my bag in your castle. And he says that, look, that castle, I've left everything of the castle and whatever's inside it behind, and you can't even leave your little bag behind. Mm-hmm. You understand? So this greed, and now, okay, it's in front of you, but it's not in his heart. But that small little pouch that he had was in his heart. And this is like, you know, if you read the lessons of our predecessors, you will find that these people had no love of the world at all. Like the buzurgs whose boat, trade ship sunk, when someone told him, he says, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. And no, he had no remorse on his face, he had no happiness, he was just normal. Like whatever activity he was in, he was carrying on. But when they came back to him some time later and said to him, we found out that wasn't your ship, it was someone else. He said, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un, again, over his ship. He wasn't happy that his ship survived. He wasn't bothered, because everything comes from Allah, everything goes back to Allah.
going to say in the Quran part, there's an ayat Mubarakah, Allah Azza wa Jal says, "And do not make me face disrespect on the day when everyone will be raised, the day when neither wealth will benefit nor son,
Allah Allah,
except he who presented himself in the majestic court of Allah Azza wa Jal with a pure heart."
SubhanAllah. We're coming to the end of this section, but Shazza, I'm just going to take up that last narration that you had, because in essence it really deals with it. So the Buzurg rahmatullahi alayhi, and in some riwayat it says Sayyidi Ghawsi Azam Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jilani radiallahu ta'ala anhu, it refers back to. And when the news came of these ships sinking, they did muraqabah, they looked down and they smiled and carried on and thanked Allah Azza wa Jal. And when the second time they were informed, so the muridain, what the people that were sat with them, they said, Hazur, when you got the first news, you did this and you smiled and then you carried on. When you got the second news, so first news is bad news, then you got the good news, it wasn't your ship, you exactly did the same thing again, you did that, you smiled and you carried on as normal. Why was that? And the great Shaykh said, he said, when I got the bad news, I looked at my heart and it wasn't bothered, it was busy in the zikr of Allah Azza wa Jalla. And so that's why I smiled and just carried on. And then when I got the good news, again I wanted to check my heart. So I looked down to see what effect it had on my heart, that it wasn't my ship, it was you know, somebody else's, or it didn't, you know, sink. And he said the heart wasn't bothered. Profits and loss didn't bother it. It had no greed in it. It was just busy in the zikr of Allah. And you know, when one busies themselves in pleasing Allah, all this worldly wealth will come to your feet anyway. I'm gonna finish this section very quickly to come to the Madni recharge. But there was a Buzurg that I met, I must have been about 14, 15, and they said to me that the Noor of Allah Azza wa Jal is like a light of guidance, and the world is like a shadow. And said, if you turn your back to Allah Azza wa Jal and the Noor, and you walk towards your shadow, what happens to it? It walks away from you. And the more you try to catch it, the more it will run away from you, and eventually you'll go so far that you will be away from the Noor and be lost looking for the shadow, and you'll never find it because you can't find it, and that's dunya for you. And I thought, how true is that? But then they said something really, really amazing, which for the last 30 years has stuck with me. They said, what happens if you turn around and face the Noor and start walking towards it? And when you turn around and walk towards the Noor, what happens to the shadow? It follows you. If you turn towards Allah, if you read your namaz, you pray your Quran, you're sincere in the court of Allah, you serve your parents, the world will come to your feet. Because as you walk towards Allah, the shadow will walk towards you, and the dunya and everything else will be around you. You will get it, but because you don't want it, you're not chasing it, and Allah has gifted it to you, and that's the test. And I suppose what we do is we spend our life chasing it, never get there. And we look at this blissful life where, well, when I'm 50 or 60, I'll retire and I'll have a blissful life. We don't know what it's going to be. You live life as you go along, and the best way to live life as you go along is in the obedience of Allah, not greedily chasing
it. That's a message as well for the youth today, where they say, well, wait a minute, everybody is doing this. Everybody is, you know, chasing the dunya, everybody's
bare challenge.
Yeah. So, you know, what's wrong with me doing it? But you know, like you mentioned there, you know, Alhamdulillah, follow your life, or spend your life in the obedience of Allah, and inshallah you'll see success.
Well, a beautiful section. We could talk about that for hours, but I've got a couple of minutes left. We're going to move to our Madni recharge, inshallah, which we always have at the end of the program to finish on something really special. Sallu alal Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Remember the hereafter, and you will remember why you are here. Remember the hereafter, and you will remember why you are here, and what you are after, and what you are after.
Now, we've talked about different things. We've talked about the minor signs of Qiyamah, we've talked about greed, and then what's the solution? Well, Shirazay, the solution is something really special. Now, Allah has placed something in the world
which is a solution to everything.
Okay.
Which is perhaps the essence of, if I called it the essence of our existence, I wouldn't be wrong. There were, you know, great devotees who taught us what this meant. Sayyidina Usman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala is sat at the door of Masjid Sharif, and he sends for a piece of mutton, a certain piece of the lamb. He eats it, he gets up, offers salah, doesn't make fresh wuzah, just goes and prays salah. And then when the companions say, why? He says, when I saw the beloved Habib of Allah Azza wa Jal do exactly that, but I've just copied exactly what he's done. There was a companion, and again it was referred to by Hazrat Usman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala anhu, where he was in a desert and going around in circles around a particular point. And they said, why are you doing this? Don't know. Don't know. All I know is that I saw the beloved Habib doing this, and that's why I'm copying him. You know, while making wudu, look at these people, amazing. While doing wudu, Hazrat Usman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala anhu smiled, and when asked, why have you smiled? He said, I don't know, but I saw the beloved Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam smile, and that's why I'm smiling.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the love. Their life evolves around not greed or anything else. Their life revolves around Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Aka sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's adab mubarak, Aka sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's characteristics. And this is what we need to make our life. If your life is filled with the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then everything else takes care of itself. And whether we are on the road to the minor signs and the major signs of Qiyamah, or whether it's the worldly life that takes over, if you fill your life with the love of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then that is such a cure, such a remedy, that it will solve all your problems, get rid of all your difficulties, and be a barrier against all calamities. We have to leave it there. We've come to the end of our program. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, we've discussed a lot today. May Allah Azza wa Jalla give us all the tawfiq, the ability to value our time and to appreciate the times we're in, and spend our life in obedience of Allah Azza wa Jalla. Protect your salah, read the Quran, read the commentary, and know who you are and where you're going. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu.
Remember the hereafter, and you will remember why you are here. Remember the hereafter.